Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. If you have been paying attention to some of the most recent headlines, you'd know that just yesterday we saw news from Coca-Cola Beverages South Africa and an understanding that they're currently undergoing a restructuring process that could see more than 680 jobs being cut. Now, we had reached out to the Food and Allied Workers Union to ensure that we get their feedback, just to get some clarity on these potential job cuts together with Coca-Cola. We do understand, though, that we have feedback from FAU as the union, and they say that they cannot do the interview. However, they have shared a statement reads as such. In response to evolving industry dynamics, Coca-Cola Beverages South Africa intends to make adjustments to the organization, which, if implemented, may result in some roles being impacted and may unfortunately result in job cuts. They mention that they've started a consultation process with unions and non-unionized members to see how they will be impacted. Consultations are underway. No final decision has been made, but they are doing this and prioritizing fairness, transparency, and compassion to their colleagues during this time. Coupled with that, if you've been paying attention to the automotive industry, you'd be well aware that we've seen potential job cuts impacting vehicle manufacturers like the likes of Mercedes-Benz, who have a plant in East London, which was temporarily closed or shut down just in terms of operational structures. The reason why all of this matters, including what we see coming out of ArcelorMittal, there's still a lot of confusion regarding the sustainability of the business, despite increased financial support. But its plant in Newcastle still faces closure and subsequent job losses to that economy. All of this matters because it helps us get a clearer picture around the labor environment in South Africa. We call for jobs. We want economic growth. We want business to enhance their fixed capital investment. All of this translates into more South Africans having a favorable livelihood. But on the back of the recent companies I've just mentioned and the job cuts that they might be facing, what does this tell us about the reality of South Africa's labor market? For that, we've called on to a good friend of the show, labor economist Andrew Levy, who often gives us feedback in terms of such themes and topics regarding labor in South Africa. Mr. Levy, such a pleasure to have you with us. It's been a while, but welcome back to Kaya Biz.
Thank you very much indeed, and it's a great pleasure to be with you.
I'm happy to have this conversation with you because you help give us a 360 view of what the reality is when it comes to the labor environment in South Africa. The headlines are concerning, though, Andrew. And when we take a look at the vast number of companies and the number of potential job losses we could be witnessing, what's your perspective on the current state?
Well, you know, it's interesting because our last two speakers were both a little bit optimistic in a muted way. And I must make the point that, you know, financial economists are working in the short term. The labor market movements are long-term, and we kind of take a look down the road. And if we look at what we're seeing now, I mean, it's obviously an absolute tragedy for employment, for families, for individuals, for breadwinners. But the biggest retrenchments are coming from multinational firms. Mm-hmm. And I think this relates to a number of factors. Mm-hmm. I think there is great concern about investment in South Africa. If we set aside, even for a moment, the issues with logistics, with corruption, and with electricity supply, all of which are vital for production, I think there is a concern that the South African government, or part of the government of National Union, has clearly thrown their lot in with the companies that they would regard as, or with the countries they would regard as hostile, the pariah countries, whether it be China, whether it be Russia, whether it be North Korea. You know, we've seen from reactions from people like President Trump, who's a different matter entirely, that this does worry them. At the same time, we have a number of other inherent problems. The first is obviously the Trump tariffs. So if we're relying on exports and we now face tariff protection from America, as the auto industry does, we're uncompetitive. Mm. We're also somewhat uncompetitive when it comes to wages and productivity. Because if you take the long-term look at our unit labor cost, it's every year costing us more and more to produce less and less. So we're becoming less competitive in the world markets. And we face people, for example, like China, who don't have the world's greatest record when it comes to worker rights, but they can undercut. And of course, you know, buyers are going to buy in the market where their price is the best. So if we look at steel, for example, if South African steel faces tariff imports, Chinese steel doesn't. And at the end of the day, they can produce and bring to market steel at a cheaper price than we can, then the answer is obvious. And here I'm talking about ArcelorMittal, obviously, which is going to close. Insofar as Coca-Cola is concerned, or probably Ford, and you know, I'm not party to any of this, so I'm just assuming here. But you know, what we often see is greater automation and the ability to produce more, relying on machines as opposed to workers. And I see in the press reports that Coke have now got a new bottling line, which can turn out 72,000 bottles an hour. Ooh. Now, if you work that out on, never mind an 8-hour shift, in hot, high season, I'm sure they're working around the clock. That's a hell of a lot of Coca-Cola. And, you know, it seems to me that on that basis, they're going to want to shed labor. Another thing I find interesting, which, and here I'm relying on Fawu's reports, which may or may not be accurate. I mean, just like the company, you're hearing one side of the story, but they're saying it's predominantly cleaning staff. And they pose the question, well, how can you run particularly a food factory without a hygienic environment, which is dependent on your cleaning staff? Well, you know, one of the easiest things to outsource is the cleaning service. So it may well be that this is a precursor to bringing in contract cleaners. But I must stress that is a surmise. But what we're looking at, if you take a step back, is a constant shrinking of job opportunity, which in itself relates to the world economic outlook, world markets, difficulties with export, internal difficulties and perceptions that our labor relations is bad, that our productivity is poor, competition from other markets and low economic growth, and all of that must sadly translate into what we're seeing now.
My goodness. Andrew, this is incredibly disheartening, but I think it really puts into a clearer picture the intersection of politics and business, the themes of the geo-macroeconomic environment, but also taking a look at policy reforms as well at a local level. As we remove, I guess, our emotions from it, you've been in this industry for decades on end. What would it take to shift the narrative? And I say that respectfully, given that you're a wealth
of knowledge. Thank you. No. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I've been around a long time. I'm an old man.
with a sharp mind and a young soul. But I ask
thank you.
Because you've participated in many conversations, looked at many policies, consulted and shared feedback as to how we get it right. What are we still missing out on, especially as an economy like South Africa, where we used to have quite a vibrant economic climate before?
You know, I think if we had a determined thrust from government, and certainly the government of national unity, one part of it would not have a difficulty, which said to the West, you know, we're close to you, you're our friends, we want to resolve this, we want to be part of AGOA, and we did not so radically take positions which were clearly antithetical to Western interests, and showed some sign that we were serious about labor market reform, which I think we are showing. So I think that's a positive thing. But we need to really do a big PR exercise to undo some of the damage that was done.
Yep.
And, you know, if you add to that a wild card like Donald Trump, then, you know, I'm sorry to say, of the American president, all logic goes out the window. You know, we're dealing with almost a completely unguided missile. And what he says today may be contradicted tomorrow, but he's in a very powerful position. So I think really, I would say the first instance is to try and show some resolve on political reform, some more closeness, which is going to give the ANC ideological problems to West European and North American economies. I think that would help. Now, whether they can swallow that ideologically remains to be seen. But, you know, against that, we are dealing with a difficult environment. We've got the potential non-renewal of a AGOA, and we have the possible tariffs from Trump.
Yes.
And then we have this growing feeling, which once it goes, is hard to stop, from big foreign firms that this is not there. There are more attractive places to put your foreign investment, and that's what we need to tackle in the immediate short term.
Yeah. And that takes more than just the PR. You need to follow it through with the necessary plans, the reforms, the support.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think they would probably say, we've heard the nice words before. We need to see some action.
Yeah, 100%. Andrew, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Unfortunately, we have to cut it short.
And likewise, Lugu. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, have a good evening. Lovely show.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Great having you back as always. That's Andrew Levy. He's a labor economist giving us some feedback into the reality of the labor environment in South Africa. And we want to hear your voice here too. As you heard, Andrew and I really reflecting on Coca-Cola as a case study, announcing that they are looking to cut well over 600 jobs in South Africa. FAU, which is the Food and Allied Workers Union, also coming through saying that they are interacting with the company. And the response from Coca-Cola, we had reached out to them to get an interview. They have shared a statement with us, essentially saying that they're prioritizing supporting the affected colleagues with fairness, transparency and compassion during this period. Consultations are still underway and no final decisions have been made. But what Andrew has done is really given us some context around how so many other sectors in South Africa's economy are greatly impacted by current job cuts or the threat of future job cuts. We spoke about the automotive industry. We spoke about the steel smelters. We haven't even touched on the agricultural space when you think about the Western Cape and the citrus growers who themselves have raised concerns about potential job losses there. It's a lot. It's anxiety-inducing, but more than anything, it should propel us to fix this challenge of not only unemployment, but potential job losses that we see on the cards going forward. Share your thoughts with us. Are you in a space where job security is uncertain? It's a threat. Are you experiencing it through the impact it's had on other loved ones, friends, family, members of your community? Let us know, because whilst it just seems like it's a contract being drawn to an end, right? But it's a loss of a livelihood. For some people, even a sense of their identity, their work, their productivity. And as we know, if not channeled in the right way, can lead to some dire consequences. Ever wondered how politics, business, and societal aspects intersect? This is a practical example.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.